Good morning, my friends. This is Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle. I'm here to say good morning because it's December the 19th, 2019. It's beautiful. It's Christmas, almost Christmas. It's a holiday season, man. And time for us to recognize that, hey, maybe shit's getting weirder than we can handle. That's right, people. It's almost Christmas. It's December the 19th. It's Thursday. One more day till Friday. I'm currently on my own personal holiday, which will end approximately in the second quarter of 2020. That's when I run out of money. And that's okay, folks, because you know what? Money is just a fixation on the bullshit of the past. I'm not against money. I mean, if it's gold and silver, I'm all for it. And I'm not against barter. I mean, if it's food, water, shelter, whiskey, or weed, I'll trade. If you listen to my podcast, you know that what I want more than anything else is probably impossible. What I want is to live in a free society. And that doesn't mean shit is free. It just means that you're free to make decisions. Like, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Why don't you ask little Greta Thunberg what's for dinner? Did she say worms? Cockroaches? What if I told you that according to recent studies, the insects on planet Earth, including the fucking worms, yeah, they're not doing so well, little Greta. And the laws of thermodynamics, well, shit, they apply to climate activists as well. And that means there's no magical paradise land in the world to come. You need to ask yourself, what the fuck are you willing to eat if you have to? I know what I'm willing to eat. What are you willing to eat if you have to? For example, last winter I was very short on money, so I went to the food bank. And the food bank here in Little Saigon is interesting in two ways. One, because it's pretty crappy, and two, because it's mostly, I think, illegal Chinese people who are in line there at the food bank in Little Saigon. Oh yeah, holy fuck, I just said something that doesn't fit the narrative. Lots and lots of illegal Chinese people in Seattle. Oh fuck, the narrative doesn't fit any longer. Fuck. But yeah, the food is pretty shitty. And supposedly there are these you know, welfare queen food banks out there. I don't know where the fuck those places are. But here in Little Saigon, I got some apples last winter. And the reason why I think they ended up in the food bank, this is my theory because of what they tasted like, they got a little bit too much pesticides. The apples, when I bit into them, tasted like diesel. Not totally like diesel, not completely like fusel oil and all kinds of fucking organic compounds from various types of things you put into your car to make it run. But it smelled like terrible shit, and it tasted like terrible shit. And you know what? I ate those fucking apples anyways. Beggars can't be choosers, folks. And if you don't have money, you do what you gotta do. You eat what you gotta eat. So my question to you is, what would you eat? What if I told you that even the diet of worms and rice might not be on the menu? What if I told you there is no combination of farming or fishing or digging for insects or worms that will allow the 8 billion people on planet Earth right now to keep fucking and feeding and fighting until all of Mother Nature is a giant fucking cesspool? And I know that there are people out there who believe in the infinite freshness of the earth, that somehow when God created the earth, he gave it to us like it was a paradise. Read your fucking Bible, you stupid fuck. Paradise, where shit just magically appears and you get everything you need to eat. Paradise, where there's food for everyone. Paradise, where the water is clean and the shelter is ample. And the boobs. We got kicked out of paradise, folks. This isn't paradise. This isn't Eden. This is what's beyond Eden when you get the kicked out of fucking Eden. And guess what? Beyond Eden, people die. Okay? Beyond Eden, people get sick. Beyond Eden, what we are provided with is kind of up to us. If we fuck it up, if we screw it up, do you truly believe God is going to magic into existence another earth? He might. I don't know. I'm a Christian. I have faith. I know that God is kind. I also know God is just. That should, if you live on the Death Star like I do, if you believe in God and you live on the Death Star, aka the United States of America, the statement God is just should scare the living shit out of you. It really should. If you take your faith seriously, if you know that God is kind, but God is also just as fuck, very just, then as an American who has so, you know, loyally paid your taxes and voted in every election, as an American, Democrat, Republican, like I give a fuck, it's all the war party now. As an American, whether you're the one holding the rifle, aiming the laser cannon, or simply working near the reactor at one of the software companies, you're on the Death Star. You don't get out of the situation. You don't get out of it. I don't. I'm an anarchist. I oppose these wars, but I live on the Death Star. And yeah, I don't get out of it either, folks. None of us get out of this. There's no magical pass-go. There's no free ride, no free lunch. What happens next is literally consequence time. You make a lot of really shitty decisions. You allow really terrible people to run your fucking society. You put your faith in government and not in God. And guess what happens? Your life will turn to shit. And guess what? You'll lose your life. And if you believe there are going to be worms for you to eat when all this is done, yeah. Yeah, I got a bridge to sell you in San Francisco. are you willing to eat if you get hungry enough? Are you willing to not ask questions? If the government comes up to you and says, here is a magical soda, a magical drink, don't ask what's in it, don't ask what it's made of, just know that it contains all the vitamins, minerals, and other gumbus you're going to need to survive. Would you drink it? If you were hungry, would you drink it? If your kids were starving, would you give this magical substance to your kids? Would you trust your government enough to take whatever substance they gave you and said, this is food. This is actual food. This contains protein and carbohydrates. This contains vitamins, minerals, and essential oils. But don't ask what's in it. By all means, please. Don't ask what's in it, please. Just know that it's nutritious as fuck. And it also contains some wood pulp to keep you regular. First topic. Wow, this is an article about the Australian government that appeared yesterday on Zero Hedge again. Nom de plume is Tyler Durden, but from what I've researched, that could mean any of a number of people, right? Headline, Australian government created bizarre horoscope to scare illegal aliens. Fuck. That's fucked. That's the kind of shit Clown Adamus would do. Create a bizarre horoscope to fuck people up in the head. Keep out all the brown and black people, right? Because God knows that color of the skin is highly correlated to outcomes, right? Yeah, right. And I read on, the Australian government has created a bizarre horoscope to spook illegal immigrants from Sri Lanka, threatening bad omens if they make an unauthorized trek into the land down under, according to BuzzFeed News. Sagittarius, if you illegally travel to Australia by boat, you will be returned. Everything you risk to get there will be in vain, and you will end up owing everyone. Gemini, you will lose your wife's jewelry, you fuck. Fuck. Taurus, holy fuck, Taurus, if you illegally travel to Australia by boat, fuck. Expect to be returned home where you will face the humiliation and failure in your community. Fuck. Except your community's mostly dead from cancer now. That's what they don't say. And I read on. The horoscope poster was released under a Freedom of Information application for copies of printed advertising material in English to dissuade people, smugglers, and asylum seekers trying to reach Australia between 2013 and 2019, respectively. The Department of Home Affairs did not respond to questions about when and where the horoscope poster was displayed. However, the poster itself gives a few clues suggesting it was distributed in Sri Lanka within the last few years. It is almost 4 years since any Sri Lankan person reached Australia on an illegal boat voyage, the poster says. During this period, Australian authorities have stopped and returned more than 160 Sri Lankans who tried to go to Australia illegally by boat. And as part of the Operation Sovereign Borders policy, Australian immigration officers turned back any boats with asylum seekers on board to its country of origin without hearing their refugee claims. Oh boy, they sound so mean, don't they? Fucking A. Here are the horoscopes in full. Aries, criminals will rip you off. Aquarius, you and your family will lose everything. Sagittarius, you will be in debt forever. Like I give a fuck. Taurus, you will be ashamed of your actions. Virgo, you will have legal problems. Fuck, that's a terrible horoscope. Capricorn, you will put your life at risk. Fuck. Gemini, yeah, we've already heard this one. You'll lose your wife's fucking jewelry. Libra, you will flush your money down the drain. Oh my God, that's sad. I think you guys can read the rest of this on your own. Cancer, Pisces, you will lose your family's land. You will be filled with regret. Scorpio, you will waste your money. Cancer, family problems will occur. What the fuck? This is so stupid. But you know what, though? I would say if that kind of shit works, like if telling people that if they get onto some leaky-ass boat to head to Australia, they probably won't make it. I don't know. Maybe that's the right thing to do. Truly, I don't care. If you're going to ask me as an anarchist, do I believe that sovereign borders are a thing? This is a tough question. I do believe in private property. I question whether the ownership of land is as straightforward as most libertarians and anarchists would allow you to believe, because I think believing you can carve out the land and say you own this land and somehow ignore the air, the water, and other things kind of sounds crazy to me. It's like saying, what if I bought a piece of land along the Columbia River. And on this land, I built a chemical plant. And in the chemical plant, I had all kinds of issues, so I would just dump shit into Columbia River, right? Technically, it borders my land, and technically, the beach right there, it's part of my land, I'll just dump it. But, you know, maybe I'll just dump it on my land and have it drain into the Columbia River. So I think that some people have notions of private property and ownership that are not realistic and not based upon any kind of common sense. Now, does this imply that I have a magical solution to the land problem? No, I don't think there is one. In fact, a lot of things don't have quote-unquote solutions other than allow nature to take its fucking course. If we allowed nature to take its fucking course, a lot of toxic bullshit would have never occurred. But instead, as very clever monkeys who believe in leverage and for whatever reason have obsessions about power schemes, as very clever monkeys with obsessions and fetishes around power schemes, we put all of our trust in government. And we think government's gonna keep the land clean and the air clean and the water clean and all kinds of other bullshit. Did you know that Hanford Reservation is along the Columbia? Do you know Hanford is a fully government thing? Yeah, they got quote-unquote private contractors. We got lots of private contractors on the Death Star, folks. But that doesn't mean we have private enterprise, you fuck. It just means we have cronyism. Hanford Nuclear Reservation probably leaks radioactive material into the Columbia. That's your government. That's the organization you believe in. Those are the ones you believe are protecting your borders and your people. So before we get all off on this whole, what does it mean to have a sovereign nation? What does it mean to have land? What does it mean to be an illegal alien? Please note that if you don't like illegal aliens pooping and shitting all the place, why the fuck do you support your government? They just don't poop and shit in America. They poop and shit all around the world. They left the Marshall Islands with a giant pile of radioactive gumbus at sea level, covered with a big old concrete dome. And now the dome is popping up and down, and all the radioactive material from hundreds of hydrogen bomb tests is flowing into the Pacific. That's real nice. That's a nice little poop you left behind there, crocodile. There's all kinds, as I've mentioned, all kinds of depleted uranium all around the Persian Gulf now. Poop, poop, poop. We poop wherever we go. So if you're going to be upset about illegal aliens going places and pooping where they shouldn't, maybe you should be a little fucking concerned about the crocodile going around and pooping on people's villages. And I even have a more interesting fucking theory. What if we stopped pooping all around the world? What if we took our military and brought it home? Bring the armies home, bring the navies home. Stop pooping everywhere. Stop fucking up people's societies. Stop forcing people to run. What would I do if the United States of America started carpet bombing Little Saigon, Seattle? What would I do? Would I stay here? Huh, maybe. I don't really give a shit about my life anymore. Would I go? I don't know. But if I had kids, I'd get the fuck out of here. If I had someone I love, I would get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck lives underneath a rain of fire? Except for a crazy person. So it's easy to say we need these horoscopes and we need to freak out illegal aliens and shit. But what if step A in the whole not wanting illegal immigrants is don't blow up their fucking countries? That's step one, you fuck. Don't blow up their societies. Don't go into their places. You should not be the illegal alien. You know what? When the United States military shows up someplace, we're the fucking illegals, folks. We're the ones breaking the law. We're the ones stealing other people's shit. What did Trump say about the oil in Syria? We're keeping it? Holy fuck. What if a bunch of fucking illegals came to your house and stole it from you and said, you know what? We got guns. We got gasoline. We could set the whole thing on fire. It's our house now. So I don't know how you feel about illegal immigrants, whether you're like me, an anarchist, or you're a fucking voter. But step one to preventing illegal immigration, don't blow up their fucking countries. Don't dump toxic waste off their fucking coasts. Don't make it impossible for them to fish so they have to become fucking pirates. Research Somalia, okay, folks? Research where France and the Europeans dump a lot of toxic waste. Guess what? It's off the coast of Africa where these people used to fucking fish. And so you can say, well, Somalia, you know, these people. You know what? We treat these people like shit. We destroy their villages. And then we're confused that they get on the leaky boats with their families and try to find a place to live. What do you want them to do? To wait underneath the bombs and die? I'll tell you what, folks. I can't speak for other people. But if all of a sudden the United States starts raining bombs on Little Saigon, Seattle, the choice is fucking simple. Stay and die, or leave and live. And maybe you have a chance, maybe you don't, but you have zero chance under the white phosphorus. Next topic, Pig Ebola. Pig Ebola. Wow. What are the odds? What are the odds that Pig Ebola is something that was, you know, developed in the United States? What are the odds? Thank you. Pig Ebola. Let's read about this, folks. This will be good. Headline, very serious. 30,000 pigs dead as pig Ebola spreads in Indonesia's North Sumatra. And this one again is by Tyler Durden, Alpha Zero Hedge. Last month, more than 4,000 pigs died from African swine fever in Indonesia's North Sumatra province. The outbreak appears to be worsening in December, with as many as 30,000 pigs dead, according to the province's Food Security Livestock Agency, reported Reuters. The Agriculture Ministry has just declared an outbreak of ASF in North Sumatra province of the country. Very serious handling is being carried out, including isolating areas, the North Sumatra minister, Syahrul Yasin Limpo, I don't know how to say that, told reporters on Wednesday. Fuck, good news on that, right? For several months, carcasses have been found on roadways and rivers as farmers quickly discarded pigs out of fear of contagion would decimate their herds. ASF, African swine fever, was first detected in September, in the province's dairy district. Government officials have deployed monitors to 38 districts in the region to make sure the outbreak is contained. Fajar Sumteen Char Rasa, that fucking name's too long, director of animal health at the Agriculture Ministry, said ASF had been found in 16 areas in North Sumatra, including Medan, the capital of Indonesia's North Sumatra province. In the 16 contaminated zones, the government has frozen all transport of meat and meat products. Anyone who has constant contact with infected herds must go through biosecurity screening, Rasa said. Blah, 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 blah. Wow. Pig Ebola. Now, I got a question, like I said. I asked it before, I'll ask it again. What are the chances that this is just some random biological event? Now, I can't prove this, folks, because there's no way for any of us, you know, people that live near the reactor on the Death Star to prove anything. But I suspect that this Ebola might not be accidental. If you think about the situation between China and the U.S., it is either a conflict of convenience for both sides, which means even though it seems like a trade war, it's not really a trade war. That's scenario one. But what about scenario two, where it's real? Where these two crocodiles, the crocodile called China's government and the crocodile called the United States government, actually hate each other, actually want to damage each other. This pig Ebola makes a lot of sense. Pork is a big part of the Chinese diet, and guess what? China was hit by the pig Ebola, and they've lost a lot of pigs. So what do you think? Is it a natural occurrence? Kind of like bombs falling out of the sky? Totally natural. Or like the weather in the U.S. these days. Completely fucking natural. Totally natural. Nothing at all gross or gumbusy about the skies. Nothing all bleached out white and vaporous and gross. It's all perfectly normal, people. Would you like to have some bacon? The reason why I say this is I don't put it past our government. To this day, there are still people who are born in Cambodia and Thailand and Vietnam who have birth defects because of the legacy of the Vietnam War that we left behind. A legacy of Agent Orange and other shit, who knows what kind of shit, we dropped out of the fucking sky. And I know you're going to say, well, we were fighting the communists, Dan. You know what, dude? I look at the United States today. The communists won. The Nazis won. The people that we were trying to fight, who were going to take away our freedom, they won. You live on the Death Star, folks. You live in a giant prison camp armed with laser cannons. That's a pretty good definition of the Death Star. Those people we were fighting, the Nazis, they won. The communists won. I look at our system. They won. Now, guess what? Communism has never been for everybody. Oh, shit. Did I just blow your fucking mind? Research it yourself. Look at the history of the Soviet Union. If you believe that everybody in Soviet history was treated equally, like I said, there's a bridge in San Francisco. I can sell you. Or you can read a book by George Orwell, Animal Farm. And what I can tell you is it's true, some pigs are more equal than others. Certainly, Ebola pigs are the least equal. I don't want no Ebola bacon. Throughout the history of the Soviet Union, not everybody was treated equally. If you were a member of the nomenklatura, if you were a member of the upper classes of the communist hierarchy, you had extra benefits. You had extra pluses. And as the system collapsed, it got worse. It didn't get better. It's not like it got more egalitarian in the 70s and 80s. It got worse. So at the top, if you wanted champagne, if you wanted wine, if you wanted whiskey or a BMW, you got one. At the bottom, you would stand in line for several hours to get some really terribly grisly fucking meat. That's communism. And I look at the sawdust bread we're eating these days, the fucking shitty food we eat, little Greta telling us that next on the menu's worms. I can promise you the people that will be telling us to eat worms won't. Do I think the CIA and our government is capable of using biological warfare as a form of covert warfare? Absolutely. I don't think it's a new thing. I think the United States has been experimenting with biological warfare for a very long time. Probably even going back to the United States Civil War. Yeah, probably going back to there. Probably there were people in charge back then who realized, holy shit, you know, these techniques we use on Native Americans, giving them blankets infected with all kinds of nasty shit like smallpox, smallpox blankets, Ebola pigs. Listen, folks, it's not a big leap from a smallpox blanket to a pig contaminated with Ebola. It's the same idea, just higher tech. And easier to contain. The virulent nature of Ebola makes it very easy to contain because people die so fucking fast. The pigs die fast, baby. They bleed out all over the place. Blood and vomit and poop everywhere. So per the theme of this fucking podcast, I ask you again, if you were hungry, better question, if you're a parent and you have kids and they were hungry, what would you let them eat if there was nothing to eat? How far would you be willing to go? Guess what? If you're going to say, I'd eat rat, you get a C-, okay? If you can find rats in the future to eat, you will be very fucking lucky, okay? Here in Seattle, I see a lot of things that are very hungry. A lot of people and a lot of birds and a lot of rats. So they're running out of food. They're running out of the worms and the insects. Now, maybe they'll magically come back into existence after the pole shift, after the ice age, after the several hundred nuclear reactors worldwide melt down. Because whatever the scenario that's coming, the one thing that doesn't work well with nuclear is chaos, you fucks. Yeah. You're gonna tell me you're gonna eat rat? Listen, you're gonna eat rat. You probably already do eat rat, you just don't know it yet. It's kinda like those IKEA meatballs from 2014, 2013 really. You remember back in 2013 when IKEA got caught putting horse meat in fucking meatballs? My Little Pony spaghetti. Yeah, I don't know if the pig Ebola is legit. I don't know if it's another kind of psyop designed to bump up bacon prices. There are people who believe in something called post-scarcity. And to them, all of these things are psyops designed to make things that should be almost free cost something. I think post-scarcity is bullshit, folks. Total fucking bullshit. The likelihood that we have entered a period where shit, where stuff we need will cost almost nothing. Listen, folks, here in Little Saigon, stuff I need, food, water, shelter, it's not free. So tell me when post-scarcity shows up, then I will totally burn my recipe book on cooking rat and other things. Tell me when this post-scarcity shows up, I won't have to have ugly thoughts about eating my sister's French bulldog. Please tell me about post-scarcity. Next topic, Afghanistan. Let's talk about Afghanistan. And this one was written by Ron Paul and published to the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. And it was published yesterday, Wednesday, at around 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Headline: Afghanistan war is crime of the century. And I read on. Quote, we were devoid of a fundamental understanding of Afghanistan. We didn't know what we were doing. So said General Douglas Lute, who oversaw the U.S. war on Afghanistan under President Bush and Obama. 18 years into the longest war in U.S. history, we are finally finding out, thanks to thousands of pages of classified interviews on the war published by the Washington Post last week, that General Lute's cluelessness was shared by virtually everyone involved in the war. What we learned in what is rightly being called the Pentagon Papers of our time, is that hundreds of U.S. administration officials, including three U.S. presidents, knowingly lied to the American people about the Afghanistan war for years. This wasn't just a matter of omitting some unflattering facts. This was about bald-faced lying about a war they knew was a disaster from almost day one. Remember President Bush's Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld? Remember how supremely confident he was at those press conferences, acting like the master of the universe? Here's what he told the Pentagon Special Inspector General, who compiled these thousands of interviews on Afghanistan. I have no visibility into who the bad guys are. Wow, that's pretty vague bullshit coming from a deep state operative, isn't it? It is not only members of the Bush, Obama, and Trump administrations who are guilty of this massive fraud. Falsely selling the Afghanistan war as a great success was a bipartisan activity on Capitol Hill. In the dozens of hearings I attended in the House of International Relations Committee, I do not recall a single quote-unquote expert witness called who told us the truth. Instead, both Republican and Democrat-controlled Congresses called a steady stream of neocon war cheerleaders to lie to us about how wonderfully the war was going. Victory was just around the corner, they all promised. Just a few more massive appropriations and we'd be celebrating the end of the war. Wow. Congress, and especially congressional leadership of both parties, are at all as guilty as the three lying administrations. They were part of the big lie, falsely presenting to the American people as expert witnesses only those bought and paid for beltway neocon think tankers. Fuck. What is even more shocking than the release of the smoking gun evidence that the U.S. government wasted $2 trillion and killed more than 3,000 Americans and more than 150,000 Afghans while lying through its teeth about the war is that you could hear a pin drop in the mainstream media about it. Aside from the initial publication in the Washington Post, which has itself been a major cheerleader for the war in Afghanistan, the mainstream media has shown literally no interest in what should be the story of the century. we've wasted at least a half a year on the Donald Trump impeachment charade, a conviction desperately in search of a crime. Meanwhile, one of the greatest crimes in U.S. history will go unpunished. Not one of the liars in the Afghanistan papers will ever be brought to justice for their crimes. None of the three presidents involved will be brought to trial for these actual high crimes. Rumsfeld and Lute and the others will never have to fear justice because both parties are in on it. There is no justice. Just days after the Afghanistan papers were published, only 48 members of Congress voted against the massive military spending of the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act. They continue as if nothing happened. They will continue lying to us and ripping us off if we let them. That is from Ron Paul. Now, what am I going to tell you? Firstly, I like Ron Paul to the extent that I once called myself a libertarian. When I realized that even the libertarians were a little communist, I had to leave. You remember when Gary Johnson said, "Bake the cake"? I wonder if Gary would have dropped bombs on somebody if they didn't bake the cake. Would he have sent in the FBI? What I can tell you is telling any private baker to bake the cake is not very libertarian. And you can come back and say, "Well, don't gay people have a right to have cakes?" Of course they do. And if you want a good gay person cake, I don't doubt there are lots of people that will make you one. There are lots of people that need jobs. There are lots of people that need opportunities to make money. So there is, realistically, no reason why you'd ever have to force a baker to bake a cake. Sorry for going off tangent here, but if you want to know why I'm not a libertarian, because I found out, you know, just before I got to where I'm at, that it was bullshit. Probably a psyop too. Probably from the beginning. Do I think Ron Paul is legit? I think he might be. I think one of the reasons why he left the Libertarian Party is he knew it was bullshit. He knew nothing was ever going to happen. And so he made that kind of pragmatic decision, "Well, if the Libertarians can't win, I'm going to become a Republican." I like Ron Paul. I'm gonna drink a little water here. I like Ron Paul. I think he's a good guy. I think he's an honest man. At least I believe this. I have to, in my heart, believe this. It could be bullshit. Ron Paul could be bullshit, but I don't think he is. And everything he says about the Afghanistan war is likely true. What he does not include is the fact that prior to our invasion, the Taliban had pretty much cracked down on heroin production. So that even though heroin was still getting out, even though opium was still being produced, it was being produced at a very low level. And then after the invasion in 2001, holy fuck, in a very non-linear way, opium production just magically ramped up. I think the world gets most of its heroin from Afghanistan now, other than Big Pharma. Isn't that good? As I've said in other podcasts, I don't doubt there are soldiers who went to serve in Afghanistan who were asked to commit war crimes, because essentially the whole war was a war crime, And then while and then after defending poppy fields and defending the criminals and handing out bricks of $100 bills, these soldiers come back home and they get hooked on heroin, the heroin they guarded, and OD on it and die. That to me is the true story, the true tale of Afghanistan. You guarded the opium that will kill you. And guess what? The CIA, they're the ones making money off of it. And they don't care about your kids, folks. They don't care about your kids any more than they cared about African-American kids in LA back in the fucking 80s when they dropped crack cocaine like a fucking atom bomb on the African-American communities. Yeah, that's how cool the CIA is. And so, again, if we can return to a previous subject from this podcast, what wouldn't they do, okay? If they will, you know, poison their own communities, if they'll give, you know, smallpox blankets to Native Americans, and then the ones they don't kill, they round up and put in concentration camps. Oh, excuse me, reservations. I have a reservation. Yes, I'll take the Trail of Tears to get there. Yeah. What exactly do you believe they won't do? They experimented on, you know, on Americans, soldiers and civilians, without their knowledge, with radiological material during the Cold War. They had Marines march through a ground zero explosion in the Nevada desert back in the fucking 1950s. Just moments after the bomb exploded. What the fuck don't you think they will do? Where do you think the limits are? So do I think that the CIA is managing opium production in Afghanistan today? Hells yeah. Do I think that they are making money off this fucking thing? Hells yeah. Do I think they give a fuck about the damage they're doing to American citizens? No. No. They don't. They really, really, really don't. If you enjoy these podcasts, and that's a big if, right? If you enjoy these podcasts and you have taken care of your food, which means you bought all of your pork containing Ebola, you purchased all of your crack cocaine and heroin from the CIA, you've gotten all of your illegal opioids and legal ones from Big Pharma, you've gotten all of your Roxy. You got all your Roxy and pills, and you've taken care of your cats, your dogs, the people you love, and you still got some money left over, then you can do something amazing. You can donate to the Little Saigon Report if you feel you got something out of it, if you feel it's worthwhile. There will be a Venmo link on this podcast in the description area, and there is a Venmo link on my SoundCloud homepage. And with that link, you can donate me money so I can buy some bacon with Ebola. I can buy some crack cocaine. I can buy some heroin and shoot up. And have a great Thursday.